गिरिवरधारी जय रथ माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय रथ माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय रथ माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी तीरावन चारी जय रथ माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय रथ माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद ताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जय शिल एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय हरे कृष्ण ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 10, Verse 31. Evam vidha gadantinam sagirah purayoshitam nirikshanena abhinandansa asmitena yayau harihi sasmitena yayau harihi evam vidha gadantinam sagirah purayoshitam nirikshanena abhinandan sasmitena yayau harihi evam vidha gadantinam sagirah purayoshitam nirikshanena abhinandan sasmitena yayau harihi. Evam vidha kadantinam sagirah purayoshitam nirikshanena abhinandan sasmitena yayau harihi. Evam vidha kadantinam sasmitena yayau harihi. Mothers, anybody? Matajis? Evam vidhaha, in this way, gadantinam, thus praying and talking about him, saha, he, giraha, of words, purayoshitam, of the ladies of the capital, nirikshanena, by his grace of glancing over them, abhinandan, and greeting them, sasmitena, with a smiling face, yayau, departed, harihi, the personality of Godhead. Translation by Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. While the ladies of capital of Hastinapur were greeting him and talking in this way, the Lord, smiling, accepted their good greetings, and casting the grace of his glance over them, he departed from the city. There is no purport, so we'll go ahead. Text number 32. Ajata Shatruhu Prutanam Gopithaya Madhudvishah Parebhyah Shankitah Snehat Prayung Tachaturanginim. Translation. The elementary creation of 16... There is some problem with this. This is not the correct translation. It is saying text 3 here, all of a sudden. This copy of Bhagavatam. Yeah, there's some text 3 suddenly after 10. Something wrong. No, even here it's the same. I have the translation purport with me. We'll check it. Translation. Maharaj Yudhishthir, although no one's enemy, engaged four divisions of defense, horse, elephant, chariot, and army, to accompany Lord Krishna, the enemy of the Asuras. The Maharaj did this because of the enemy and also out of affection of the Lord. We'll read the translation once again. Maharaj Yudhishthir, although no one's enemy, engaged four divisions of defense, horse, elephant, chariot, and army, to accompany Lord Krishna, the enemy of the Asuras. The Maharaj did this because of the enemy and also out of affection for the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Purport. Natural defensive measures are horses and elephants combined with chariots and men. Horses and elephants are trained to move to any part of the hills or forest and plains. Horses and elephants are trained to move to any part of the hills or forest and plains. The charioteers could fight with many horses and elephants by the strength of powerful arrows, even up to the standard of Brahmastra, similar to modern atomic weapons. Maharaj Yudhishthir knew well that Krishna is everyone's friend and well-wisher, and yet there were asuras who were by nature envious of the Lord. So, out of fear of attack from others, and out of affection also, he engaged all varieties of defensive forces as bodyguards of Lord Krishna. If required, Lord Krishna himself was sufficient to defend himself from the attack of others who counted the Lord as their enemy. But still, he accepted all the arrangements made by Maharaj Yudhishthir because he could not disobey the king who was his elder cousin. The Lord plays the part of a subordinate in his transcendental sporting, and thus sometimes he puts himself in the care of Yashoda Mata for his protection in his so-called helplessness of childhood. That is the transcendental leela or pastime of the Lord. The basic principle for all transcendental exchanges between the Lord and his devotees is exhibited to enjoy a transcendental bliss for which there is no comparison, even up to the level of Brahmananda. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. So the 31st verse which is written here, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in translation, while the ladies of capital of Hastinapur were greeting him and talking in this way, The Lord, smiling, accepted their good greetings, and casting the grace of his glance over them, he departed from the city. There is not much to be spoken on this verse. Actually, Radha Gopinath Prabhu on Sunday or Saturday gave a very beautiful class and explained the meaning of the smile of Lord Krishna. He was explaining that many of us, we come to temple because we want to see Krishna. I want to take darshan of Krishna. But the real darshan is when Krishna actually sees you. He notices you and then he offers a smile. So, I remember one time when Sannyasi was also speaking and he mentioned that we see Krishna is smiling, Gopinath is smiling, but we don't know why he is smiling. You know, there are so many reasons why he could be smiling. We don't know why Krishna is smiling. When Lord Shiva insisted that he wants to see the Mohini Murti form, that time also Krishna smiled. Right? That smile had a different meaning. When the four Kumaras went to Vaikuntha and Lord Vishnu came there, again he smiled. That smile had a different meaning. Right? So Krishna's smiles at different occasions have different meanings. But the best smile which is good for us is that what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also explained, that don't try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he is happy to see you. That means he smiles at you. And here these ladies of Hastinapur, they are offering their prayers to Lord Krishna as Krishna is leaving the city. And Krishna is acknowledging their presence with a smile. Right? Now, I think Akinchan Krishna Prabhu mentioned some details about what must have happened. You know, generally, sometimes I feel like this, you know. You know, up to year 2014, anything bad that happened in the world, anything bad that happened with anybody in the world, Krishna was responsible for that. Right? That's how people looked at it. After 2014, there is one more person who is responsible. That is Narendra Modi. So, let's assume for a minute that Narendra Modi ji has not done anything great, but he has taken one burden from the head of Krishna, of taking all the blames for anything that goes wrong. That's definitely one thing, great thing that he has done. I'm sure Krishna must be smiling at him when he looks at him. So the reason I'm saying this is because anything bad happens in your life, it is very easy to blame Krishna. So these are the ladies of Hastinapur. Maybe their husbands, maybe their sons, maybe their brothers died in the war of Kurukshetra. But they are able to overcome that. They are able to understand that, yes, no, this is, it's war and this is likely to happen. Krishna is not responsible. Even Gandhari ji considered Krishna as responsible for war. And when Krishna was actually returning, Krishna is right now returning back, that time he came across a sage who actually cursed Lord Krishna and told Krishna that because you are responsible, you are God and you still did this war. So if Gandhari and this great sage are having this type of understanding, what to speak of these simple ladies of Hastinapur? Wouldn't have they thought this in similar lines? That my husband was present on the battlefield and Krishna was there. He's God, he could have saved him, but he did not save. But they are able to overcome that and still offer great, great devotion. They are not even thinking about it. They are glorifying Krishna's devotees in Dwarka, you know, how they, those ladies are so fortunate. And you know, just, you know, giving all glories and credits to others, even in that painful situation. Right? Like how Prabhuji were describing the other day. The person whom you love the most, the person whom you have invested in the most emotions, that person just leaves you one day. So difficult to handle that emotion. But these ladies are able to overcome it and offer all the wonderful glories. So, in other words, these ladies are actually exhibiting what Lord Brahma speaks in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That verse, you know, that Atmakurtam Vipakam. Whatever happened to me is Atmakurtam Vipakam. But Rudvak Vapur Phir Vidadhan Namaste. You know, with all body, mind and words, Vidadhan Namaste. You know, we offer prayers to you. They are actually able to do it. So they are demonstrating what Lord Krishna is praying in the 10th canto. And then Krishna is, you know, reciprocating that back, smiling at them. You know, it's very difficult to go through this. For me also, very easy to speak on, have assassin and speak. But actually when bad things happen in life, very, very difficult. And that's a battle that all of us actually are continuing. And I somehow feel that the second verse which then Shukadeva Goswami speaks is a hope-giving verse. And we will come to that towards the as we go ahead in the class. So what is this spoken in the second verse? He says, so I'll speak something about a small thing in the purport, and while I explain that, maybe you can think about the verse once again in your minds. So Shukadeva Goswami is describing, no, I don't know whether this is spoken by Shukadeva Goswami or Suta Goswami, but let's say the writer of Bhagavatam is explaining. The elementary creation of 16, oh sorry, so this is not the correct translation. So the translation is here, yeah. Maharaj Yudhishthir, right, Ajatashatru, the shloka is Ajatashatru Prutanam Gopi Thaya Madhudvishaha Parebhya Shankitaha Sneyahat Prayungta Chaturangene. So the translation is, Maharaj Yudhishthir, although no one's enemy, engaged in four divisions of defense to accompany Lord Krishna, the enemy of Asuras. The Maharaj did this because of the enemy and also out of the affection of the Lord. And actually the name of this chapter is very interesting. The name of the chapter is Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. And there is one brilliant line in this purport which Prabhupada writes. And I'm not sure if you noticed that line. And somehow that line answered the question which I had in my mind. So I will not tell about the line first. I will first tell about the question which I had in my mind. And it is not really a very significant, of course every line of Prabhupada is a significant line. But apparently you may just ignore that particular statement. So how many of you have heard this personality in history called as Hannibal? Hannibal, anyone heard this? Hannibal? Who knows? Okay. So this Hannibal, so those of you know, and this is a history which is around 2000 years back. So during that time there were two main empires out of India. So if you just look towards the west of India, the two major empires, one was the Roman Empire and one was something known as the Carthaginian Empire. The Empire of Carthage. And this Carthage Empire was pretty much a self-sufficient empire. Because this is an absolute north tip of Africa where this Carthage was located. It was a fully flourishing empire because, you know, it is a point on the Mediterranean Sea. And all the trade used to happen through Carthage. So a lot of taxes and excises, duties and everything. You know, so Carthage was quite self-sufficient. But the Roman Empire, they always thought of expanding their borders and horizons. So they used to sometimes keep attacking these parts of Carthage, you know. And sometimes they conquered also certain villages of this Carthage. So there was a general of this army of Carthage. His name was Hannibal. And he said that I have to put a break to all this. I have to stop all these constant attacks from happening. And he said that, and he was actually gathering big armies. One of the special feature of his armies, and we are reading here Chaturanga Sena, Prabhupada is writing. One of the feature of his armies was elephants. He had 37 elephants in his army, some 15,000 horse riders, 30,000 foot soldiers, and 37 elephants. They are African elephants because it's a tip of Africa that they are located. So as he was arranging these big armies, obviously the spies and all, they come to know the first thing. So they immediately informed the Roman rulers that a big army is being arranged here. So he knew that Romans are aware of my strength and they are aware of my capabilities. So how do I conquer them? And the Roman army was far bigger than this. Although Roman army did not have elephants in them. But they were far bigger, outnumbering. So he said, there is one thing they do not know. Right? And that is my route. How am I going to attack them? So if you see in the geography, there is Italy on the top, there is an ocean in the middle, and then there is this Carthage at the bottom of this. The straight route towards Italy or Rome is to go via the ocean. Behind Italy, there is this Alps mountain range covering it fully. So Hannibal thought that because I have elephants with me, they will never imagine that I can come down from the mountains. They will never imagine that. So he took his entire army all over the mountains. And how do you make elephants climb mountains? It is practically impossible. And he, in fact, the history says that he took the highest possible peak to go and to come down. And this entire distance, right from Carthage and back, was covered in 16 days. So even before the spies could go and tell the Romans that he is actually taking this particular route, this man was already there in the city with all these elephants and horses and everything, and it just took everyone by surprise. And he won that particular war. Right? So this is the technique that he used. But the thought which was in my mind, that how can you make 37 elephants go through Alps? It is practically unimaginable. How can elephants go through Alps? Just connecting it to one incident in Maharashtra, when Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj was getting coronated at Raigad, one British officer who was visiting, he writes that one of the most amazing things that we saw on the fort of Raigad is an elephant there. Because they said, how can an elephant climb the Raigad mountain? It is impossible. So he said that I don't believe that this elephant must have come climbing this Raigad, but probably a baby was brought right from childhood and then grown up there. But no, it was not the case. They actually took an elephant. How? We know this. Prabhupada writes in the purport. Prabhupada says, see, the natural defensive measures are horses and elephants combined with chariots and men. And Prabhupada writes, horses and elephants are trained to move to any part of the hills or forest and plains. See this. Yeah. Elephants can be trained to move all the parts of hills and forests. So just to emphasize on this point, that how Prabhupada, that some, you know, a line that may look completely nonchalant can speak volumes of history, you know, in a small purport which is there. So I just wanted to touch upon this point before I go ahead. Just to emphasize that how, you know, every line of purport of Prabhupada is great and is deep. Right? Prabhupada must be knowing about Hannibal and all the travels. Prabhupada knew many things. Now, if you look at the translation of the, and I requested all of you to just read the translation once. So those of you who study literature, there is a figure of speech called as contradiction. It's called Virodhabhas in Sanskrit. And you must have detected a Virodhabhas in this translation, right? What is that contradiction? A king who is a Kshatriya, who is supposed to have strong armies, and therefore naturally, you know, supposed to have enemies as well, is mentioned as Ajatashatru. And Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is by definition not supposed to have enemies, is mentioned as Madhudvisha. The enemy of Madhu demon, right? See the contradiction. How wonderfully this verse is composed. How is it possible? Tell me. A king, he is Ajatashatru, right? For whom enemy is not born. And Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is, by definition, if you read Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dveshosti Napriya, that verse, right? There's nobody who is dear to me and there is nobody whom I hate. He doesn't have any enemies. And if you read the purport, I believe it's in the same purport, and maybe other devotees can correct me. Prabhupada writes in the purport one Vedanta Sutra, quote of Vedanta Sutra. It's called Vaishyamya Nairgurunya Na Sapekshatvat. Right? Some verse Prabhupada quotes. Right? So Nairgurunya, the Supreme Absolute Truth, you know, he is no Vaishyamya, there is no Vishamta, there is no, he is equal to all. There is no question of having enemies and all. And no Sapekshatva, there is no Sapekshatva, there is no relativity. He is absolute. Right? Because you as a person may say, you know, I am connected to you, that's why I love you. There is a concept of nepotism that exists everywhere, right? Wherever you go. But Krishna, there is no nepotism, in one sense. Right? Krishna is equal to all. Although, of course, it is mentioned that love me, love my dog. But that's the more detailed part of Lord Krishna's personality. But in general, he is na sapekshatvat. There is no relativity. He is absolute. And he, that absolute personality, declared by definition by Vedanta Sutra and by he himself in Bhagavad Gita, is declared as one who has enemies. And one who is a mere king, he is an empire of the world, is declared as Ajatashatru. Right? So that is a contradiction. How do you understand this contradiction? Well, let's say by definition Krishna does not have enemies, but historically he had. Right? Even before Lord Krishna was born, the enmity had already taken birth. Because his own mother, when the Akashvani took place, the voice, unembodied voice from the sky said that the eighth son of this Devaki will become your cause of death. So the mama of Lord Krishna, you know, he just held the hair of Devaki and about to kill her. Right? Kill Devaki even before the child is born. That's how we sometimes feel that Vyasochishtam Jagat Sarvam, you know. Everything which is there in the world is there covered by Vyasadeva. I remember there was a old movie called Terminator. Anyone seen that movie? In that movie, even before the child is born, the person is sent to kill the mother. Same concept. The prophecy says that the child of this particular lady is going to be a big person or whatever and is going to create a problem. So somebody from the future comes back to kill the mother only. So mother is killed, so child is not born. The same tendency has come, sir. Nothing new. You know, the prophecy is there. Eighth child is going to born, so kill the mother only. So the enmity is born even before Krishna is born. And then right from his birth, you know, the enmity continues. Actually, Kamsa is he's a maternal uncle. In our local language, Hindi, is called Mama. The one time Devi Priya Mataji, she told me the meaning. That why maternal uncle is called as Mama? Because there is Ma twice. So Ma, mother, can give you a particular love, amount of love. Double of that love, the maternal uncle gives. That's why he's known as Mama, like that. No? So twice the love. So, and here the Mama is every day sending three demons to kill the Bhanja. Right? The other Mama Bhanja, the Shakuni and Duryodhan, they're having fun time. Guiding each other. And here Mama Bhanja is trying to kill the Bhanja. Just see the Virodhabhas. In the same family, in the same story, it's all happening, right? So imagine what Krishna must be going through, right? I mean, your mama, whom you really look forward to, in Marathi we say, mama cha gavala jau, ya, you know, whenever there is vacation, you want to go to mama's house, you know. That person whom you love the most is daily sending you three demons to kill you. And there is no other agenda. Agenda is to kill you only. There is no question of, you know, inviting you back or anything like that. It is very clear intention. And that continues for 10, 12 years that Krishna is staying in Vrindavan. That whole thing continues. Then finally Lord Krishna went. He killed this Mama for all time to come. But does it stop the enmity? No. Then immediately Lord Krishna wrote a letter to Dhritarashtra saying that please stop all your activities towards Pandavas, otherwise, you know, I am coming. So even before this enmity stopped, other enmity already started. And, okay, the enmity did not stop there. Then further, the father-in-law of this Mama, Jarasandha, he became even a bigger enemy of Krishna. Attacking Mathura city, and now this enemy is so big that not only Krishna's life is in danger, all Krishna's devotees' life is in danger. And what to speak of the demons attacking Krishna? Even great demigods attack Krishna twice. So many enemies in life. Indra is attacking Lord Krishna. He is a great demigod. And Brahmaji is trying to play pranks with Lord Krishna, trying to take his friends away, and not only his life, but his dearmost beloved's life. So this man is just taking enmity constantly as he grows throughout his life. They're just enemies after enemies after enemies. Kalayavan is coming. And you know, today we are celebrating the wonderful this of Rukmini Dwadashi. And who can be a better enemy of Lord Krishna than Shishupal himself? and how much enmity. In fact, after Shishupal was born, as soon as he was born, he was just crying. In fact, he was braying like an ass and blaspheming Krishna at the time of his birth. So, you know, so many enemies. And, you know, and this is all happening after Lord Krishna has come out of Vrindavan. He's actually in Dwarka. So probably he's planning to enjoy some pleasant days. And that time this person right from childhood is braying. And then somebody makes a prophecy that anyone whom you keep this person on the lap of, and this Shishupal actually had four hands and three eyes. So he looked also very, you know, it's very nice to see it in Lord Shiva and things like that, you know, it's very beautiful. But you imagine a small baby born with three eyes and it's ugly actually. It's not at all attractive. Right? So, anyway, this baby was like, so the prophecy came that, you know, you keep the baby on the lap of any person, and if these two hands just fall off and the one eye falls off, that person will be the killer of this man. So maybe the mother was probably giving the baby to everybody. Okay, take him. The people said, I don't want a baby on my lap, but you know, please take him. But I want to see who you are. So once when Krishna and Balaram were there, this lady was actually the aunt of Krishna. And this baby was given to Krishna. As soon as he kept on the lap, the hands fell off and the eyes fell off. Right? So the mother understood. So the mother begged to Krishna. She said, please don't kill him. He's my son. He's your own cousin. Don't kill him. So Krishna said, okay, he's always blaspheming me. I can understand that right from his childhood. So I will forgive his 100 offenses at one time. Okay? It's like the one life. In the video games you have one life, like three lives and all that, people are. So he had 100 lives. You know? For each time that he does something, he had 100 lives to save him. And, you know, he sort of used this opportunity very often. So because he knew that he could do it 100 times, it's not that he stopped doing it, he kept on doing it. So you can imagine the pain that, so your mama is your enemy, your cousin is your enemy, the mama's brother-in-law is your enemy. And how you survive in an environment like this? And this man, you know, he's using that facility also. Every time opportunity would come, okay, 100 times start. Blah, 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 blah. Krishna is like this, like that. We cannot speak like this on Vyasasan. And of course, every time Shishupal speaks something, Mother Saraswati reveals the glorious meaning of that also. But, you know, he just like people write the 100 shlokas of glorification. You know, he would every time make 100 shlokas of blasphemy. You know, every time. Just coming out and speaking. But one time he lost his control. Right? One time he lost his control. When did that happen? When Krishna was given the throne of the, what is it called as the Yajna Purush? Agra Puja, sorry. Thank you, Prabhu. Krishna was given the position of Agra Puja in the Rajasuya sacrifice. Right? Please say. But why? Why that actually created so much of envy in the heart of Shishupal? Because Rukmini Devi, you know, this Rukmini, this beautiful girl, and her beauty is explained that she had green eyes. Actually, even among today, somebody has green eyes, you know. They look very beautiful, right? The blue eyes and the green eyes. So she had beautiful green eyes and extremely beautiful complexion. She was just like Lakshmi herself. And her brother, you know, he had already decided that she has to get married to Shishupal. She was the daughter of Bhishmaka, great king Bhishmaka. And his brother was Rukmi, right? Everyone in the family was known after Rukmi, like the Rukma Bahu, Rukma Vati, and all such names are there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Everyone starts from Rukma, like the word. It probably means gold. I'm not sure, but it probably means gold, yeah. So she had that golden complexion, Rukmini. She's like beautiful and with green eyes. And this person wanted to marry her. So then she wrote a beautiful letter to Krishna. So if you see, just like, you know, the Ramananda Raya Samvad, so there are these two conversations of Rukmini in Srimad Bhagavatam. One is her letter, and then later on there is a discussion between Rukmini and Krishna. Very, very wonderful, very deeply philosophical letters and content. Very beautiful. You know, anyone who is really going through a lot of pain and this in the heart should actually read these purports. They are so sweet. They are very sweet. Very, very soothing to the heart. So she wrote this beautiful letter sent through a Brahmana. And then Krishna, he came to save her, just to protect her. And right in front of everyone's eyes, actually it is mentioned that when Rukmini came out, that the time of her marriage, she was supposed to go and visit a temple. As soon as she came out, just by looking at her, everyone just fainted. And Krishna, just like at that moment, that spur of the moment when nobody is aware of what's happening, he just came, took Rukmini and just went away. That increased the envy of Shishupal exponentially. So, those of you who must have heard Radhana Swami Maharaj, he made a very beautiful point in this regard. I'm just repeating it here. He said that just see how amazing is Lord Krishna. He mentioned that we know from the Shastras that Sita Devi and Lord Ram again reappeared as Krishna, Rukmini and Krishna. So Rukmini is none other than Sita Devi, right? And the Jai Vijaya, as they went on taking different births, in this particular birth, the previous births, the person who was Ravana now is coming as Shishupal, right? So what did Shishupal in his previous life do to Ram as Ravan? He kidnapped his wife, right? That's what he did. And how did he kidnap his wife? Not like in front of everybody and in front of all the assembled kings and everything. He arranged the whole mechanism of marriage and golden deer and this and that. And then the deer had to shout in the voice of Lord Ram. And Sita Devi had to drive away Lakshman. And then this man comes and, you know, kidnaps the wife. You know, what is the great purusharth in that? You know, there is nobody to even defend the person whom you are abducting. There is no purusharth involved in it. It's a cheating business that he did. Now the same Ravan is now there as Shishupal. The same Sita is there as Rukmini. But the kidnapper has changed. Right? And the kidnapper is doing not in forest, in some cheating way, right in front of everyone. Is there. Anyone dares to stop, stop it. Right? Of course, there's a big difference that she is not yet married to Shishupal. And in her hearts of hearts, she is fully married to Krishna. She just wants Krishna to come and take her. Right? She already has that. And therefore just Krishna came and then took Rukmini away. And that increased the envy of Shishupal multiple times. He just couldn't contain it because it's the same personality from the past life as Ravana now coming as Shishupal. So much anger. And in front of everyone, you know, Krishna is given the position of Agrapuja. Oh my God. It's just envy just blasted like anything. And started blaspheming one after the other. So much that he actually lost the count. But still, when he spoke the 100th word, Krishna stopped him. And actually, as he was speaking all the blasphemies, the Yadavas and the Bhima and Arjuna are there. They are just, hands are clasping on the sword. They are like, this Shishupal rascal, I would just cut off this head. But Krishna is saying, oh, please don't. You know, I'm allowed him to speak 100 times, so make him complete his quota. So just going on, when he lost, when he spoke the 100th verse, Krishna stopped him. Reminded him, say, 100, ho gaya, stop. But then the rage is so much, just came out, continued. So Krishna said, okay. Now, you know, so take the Sudarshan Chakra, cut off the head. So this is a whole beautiful Rajasuya sacrifice that is happening. You know, it's not some sort of a common function there. It's a huge function. And there are kings of various wonderful places coming there to see Lord Krishna. And you know, Prabhupada mentions in one of the purport that Krishna was cynosure of everyone's eyes. Everyone came there from distant places just to see Lord Krishna. You know, and it's a beautiful arrangement. And Yudhishthira Maharaj himself is responsible for that all entire arrangement. And all of a sudden it's all bloodshed, head cut off and everything. It's horrible. No, how does it look like? You know, marriage, kisi ka chal raha hai, suddenly kisi ka head cut diya aisa. Oh, inauspicious, most inauspicious. Aisa ho jayega. Right? But here it's just happening in front of everyone. Yudhishthira Maharaj is so transcendental. For him it doesn't matter. Bloodshed has happened and everything. You know, he approaches Narad Muni. And said, Narad Muni, I have a question. He says, I have a question. So what is the question? He says, I just saw Shishupal getting killed.
He was the greatest enemy of Lord Krishna. But right in front of my eyes, the soul of the Shishupal came out from his body and merged in body of Lord Krishna. What is this? He's getting moksha. He's an enemy of God and he's getting moksha. What is the solution?
And then Narad Muni starts describing the beautiful seventh canto, which is culminating in 2 days now, culminating the appearance of Narasimha Dev. So I just wanted to mention about this, so I told this story. The cause of Rukmini ends up into Chaturdashi, which is the appearance of Narasimha Dev. You know, the Rukmini is envy and the killing of Shishupal and all that is wonderfully culminating into Narasimha Chaturdashi, which is just coming in 2 days. So there's a beautiful connection. So I just felt like, you know, mentioning that. So Krishna has enemies, right? Coming back to the point. Historically speaking, factually speaking, Krishna has enemies. But then there is one more contradiction created in this verse. What is that contradiction? Yudhishthira Maharaj is mentioned as Ajatashatru, right? Somebody who doesn't have any enemies. Well then, why do you want Chaturangi Sena? Why do you want Chaturangi Sena? Right? There is one great political leader who is sometimes compared to Yudhishthira Maharaj in India. His name is Gandhiji. I don't want to say that. I want to read out one statement of Gandhiji. He spoke this statement in the Round Table Conference in London in 1931. So just listen to this. In 1931, on his way to London Round Table Conference, Mahatma Gandhi was asked by a Reuters correspondent. Okay, so Reuters is there in 1931 also. It's not a very new company. Reuters correspondent asked Mahatma Gandhi that what is his program about India? And he responded by writing, Mahatma Gandhi responded by writing out a brief sketch of India. Just see what he writes. He says, "The India of my dreams, such an India," he said, "would be free. Would be free. It would belong to all of its people, would have no high and low classes, it would have no intoxicants." And now comes the very dangerous statement, he says, "and the smallest army imaginable." India of Gandhiji's dreams had the smallest army imaginable. And here is somebody who is compared to Gandhiji and he's having Chaturangi Sena. And what is Chaturangi Sena? Prabhupada is mentioning here, right? He says, the elephants, the horses, the chariots, and the foot soldiers. All of this is the Chaturangi, the four. So those of you who play chess, in Hindi it is known as Shataranj. The Shataranj is actually an apabhramsh of the word. Apabhramsh means I don't know what's called in English. It's called apabhramsh means like, you know, how Yamuna becomes Jamuna. Or Sindhu becomes Hindu, like that. So there is a apabhramsh. So apabhramsh of Chaturang is Shataranj, like that. Chaturang, Chaturang. So of course there are no chariots, there are camels. So you have camels, horses, elephants and the foot soldiers. That is the Chaturanga, Chaturanga Sena. And in one of the purports, if you read before, Prabhupada mentions that of all these people, four, which is the most expensive to maintain? The elephants. Right? And he said, the glory of Yudhishthira Maharaj, that he had the largest number of elephants in the entire India. And therefore that city was known as Hastinapur. That's what Prabhupada says. Hasti is basically elephant. So Hastinapur is because they are the largest number of elephants. Right? So, I sometimes wonder that why did somebody not pick up this copy of Srimad Bhagavatam and show it to Gandhiji and said, "My dear Gandhiji, just take a look. You think that you are the great proponent of Ahimsa and you think that you are Ajatashatru. You don't have any enemy. But there is somebody who is declared Ajatashatru by Vyasdev, by Shukadev Goswami. And that person is not some dharmic leader. He is not a dharmic king, he is dharma himself.
He is Dharmaraj, Dharma himself, right? And he is having Chaturangi Sena. And you are saying that you will have smallest army imaginable. Why is it like this? How do you solve this contradiction? Ajata Shatru, right? So, of course, there is one internal reason which Prabhupada has nicely explained in the purport. But let's look at the external reason before we go ahead. And those of you who attended recently the counselors meeting that took place in Wada, and there's a nice promotional video also which came later on. So all those of you who are aware about the congregational activities of Radha Gopinath Temple, there is a beautiful farm called as Govardhan Eco Village in Wada, right? And the farm is actually being maintained very nicely over the years. So it is a desire of the leaders and many people that all the grahasthas and all those who are the earning members of the congregation, they come forward and support this particular maintenance of the forest. So we are actually expecting just 108 rupees from every family, not much, right? 108, anybody can give every month. 108 if you are able to give every month, or if not, then forget it. But then the entire forest can be nicely maintained. So just to tell this message to everybody, they came out with a nice promotional video, right? You must have seen that video. In that, Radhanath Maharaj makes very pertinent comments. Yeah, if you notice them. Radhanath Maharaj in that says that ultimately this project, you must be thinking that this is, you know, people when they speak, you know, this is my Guru Maharaj's project, this is this person's project, that person's project. You know, people, that's the way it is spoken all the time. Radhanath Maharaj says that actually this is all yours. Right? In that video, if you see, he says, he just points to all the people who are sitting there and he says, actually it is all yours. And then he says a very powerful statement. And then he says, if you go little deeper inside, actually it is ours. He said. And then he said, even powerful statement, he said, everything that is Krishna's is actually ours. Now that's a very profound statement. Everything that is Krishna's is actually ours, is actually a very profound statement. How do you understand this? Right? So there are two types of personalities. Two types of personalities. Who, when they say that everything that is Krishna's is ours, their intention is to exploit that thing to their full capacity. And they don't care. The underlying assumption of everything that is Krishna's is ours, the underlying assumption is actually I am Krishna. That's why it is mine. Everything that is Krishna's is ours, because the underlying assumption is I am Krishna, and that was Bhagavad Gita of Krishna, categorized this person as Ishwaroham Aham Bhogi Siddhoham Balwan Sukhi, the demoniac people. Krishna already puts that in the category, right? And because I am God, that's why it's mine, that's why it's ours, right? And that is the personification of Hiranyakashipu, actually. And the second type of people, they feel that everything that is Krishna's is ours, because everything is meant for using in service of Krishna. And therefore, I should not be stopped from using everything in service of Krishna. Therefore, if you see Srila Prabhupada, there are certain things which Prabhupada spoke, you know, we feel that, you know, how can he say like this, like that. So one of those things was, you know, Prabhupada extensively complained about the immigration department, right? You must have heard in Prabhupada lectures and Prabhupada this. And Prabhupada actually compared them to barking dogs, right? And Prabhupada said, because I am a sannyasi. I am not traveling the borders for capturing the country or capturing some economic power or spreading some mumbo-jumbo cult. I am giving Krishna consciousness. I am a sannyasi. I have come here to give. And you are stopping me and barking all the time. That how can you enter into this country and that country? Everything is Krishna's property. So we should be allowed to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. Because Krishna consciousness is the birthright of every living entity. Anywhere in the world. You cannot say that only Indians can take it or only this country or that country. Everyone should be able to take Krishna consciousness. That was Prabhupada's vision. Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. So everything that is Krishna is ours is because Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. Because the whole world is my family. That is the entire concept. And that is symbolized by Prahlad Maharaj. So that is the conflict of Narsingha Chaturdashi. One person is thinking that everything that is Krishna's is ours because it can be best used in service of Krishna. And one person is saying that no, everything is Krishna's is ours because I am Krishna. And that this problem had to be solved by Krishna himself by appearing as Narasingadev and then put an end to this complete controversy and then establish, okay, who is correct and who is wrong. Right? But there are such people who exist in this world that everything is Krishna's is actually mine. And they, those tendencies actually exist in us also. You know, in some smaller fraction. We may have put tilak and kantimala and dhoti kurta, but that is there. You know, it's there. It's a fact. All of us are experiencing that problem. But in outside, sometimes there are people who manifest it in huge quantities. To control such people, you need Chaturangi Sena. Otherwise, if we had taken this particular message of Gandhiji seriously, we probably would have been discussing some other scriptures sitting here. Right? Smallest imaginable army. We are able to study Srimad Bhagavatam because our army is very nice. Yeah. Sorry. You can cut that in the lecture maybe later. But I'm just trying to mention this point that it's so important. So you need Chaturangi Sena because there are people who are actually inimical towards Krishna. And then Srila Prabhupada very nicely evolves himself into the purport and tells the internal understanding of why the Chaturangi Sena is actually provided. And Prabhupada says actually it's affection. It's out of affection. If you see the word which is used here, is Gopi Thaya Madhudvishaha. Very wonderful word. You know, in Sanskrit language, and Prabhupada of course translates this word as for protecting Krishna. I was just trying to understand, I never heard this word in the past, so I wanted to find out. So I took up Sanskrit dictionary and I saw. So there is actually a word called as Gopitru. So what is the meaning of Gopitru? So just like, you know, you have, when you fill up forms, right, you mention parent or guardian, right? So a parent is Pitru, Pita. A guardian is called as Gopitru, right? So the mother, so guardian mother, she's also called as Gopi. So Gopi and Gopitru are the parents, right? And the person who is being cared for is known as Gopila. So the guardian is Gopitru, the guardianess is Gopi, the person who is being guarded is Gopila, and the process of guarding him is called as Gopitha. And that is what is mentioned here, Gopithaya Madhudvisha. So this type of protection which is offered to Krishna is not, although Prabhupada has used the word here, bodyguards. But the consciousness of Yudhishthir Maharaj is not to provide bodyguards for Krishna. That is Gopithaya. Right? So just like somebody is guarding the door, he may not be called as Gopithaya, he may be called as Dwarpal. You know, he's guarding the door. Or somebody is guarding some property, may be called as some other name, you know, like that. But somebody who is guarding his child, or someone like a child, that is Gopithaya. So this Gopithaya is a very profound word. And Yudhishthira Maharaj has those type of feelings in his heart. You know, he wants to protect Krishna, just like an elder cousin, an elder brother. Right? So how is there, can there be any reason apart from affection that he feels like doing it? And Prabhupada very nicely finds out in the purport also that he is actually doing it because of affection for Krishna. Although Krishna himself is able to handle everything. If you just look at all the Pandavas, all of them, one by one, Krishna is better than all of them. Just like Arjuna conquered Draupadi by releasing that arrow and by hitting that fish's head looking in the water, right? There is, I think, a dialogue between Draupadi and another queen of Krishna. I don't know if it was Nagnajiti, no, not Nagnajiti. Nagnajiti, that bulls were killed. Another queen, maybe somebody can prompt here. So that queen, when she spoke with Draupadi, she said, actually, you think that Krishna is the best, Arjuna is the best archer? No, your husband is not the best archer. My husband is the best archer. Because in my marriage also, there was a fish kept there, a bait kept there on the top. But the difference between your marriage and my marriage is that in your marriage, the fish could be seen in the water. In my marriage, the fish could not be seen in the water also. It was just the sound which was coming from the top. And my husband Krishna pierced exactly the arrow, just from the sound and just from the other place. He is superior to you. Krishna is superior to Arjuna, right? When Arjuna had a battle with Lord Shiva, he conquered Lord Shiva. When Krishna had battle with Lord Shiva, in the episode of Banasur, after the battle was over, Lord Shiva started crying. Said, Krishna, what I have done to you? I actually waged a war with you. I am actually supposed to be the Vaishnavana Mithashambhu and I am fighting against you. So then Krishna, in the form of Jagannath, he said, don't worry, I will keep a place next to me always, that is Bhuvaneshwar. So even if you now go, Bhuvaneshwar Mahadev is there, just next to Jagannath Puri. Right? So Arjuna could not make Lord Shiva cry. Krishna could make Lord Shiva cry in ecstasy of making a mistake of fighting with Krishna. That is the beauty of Lord Krishna. And if you speak of Bhima, you know, Krishna demonstrated the power when he killed Dantavakra. He just gave a punch on Dantavakra's chest and he just vomited blood, unlimited. And then, of course, when he came in the form of, when he killed all these demons like Putana and Trunavarta, and these are all, Krishna killed them at the age of what? Putana was killed when Krishna was 3 months old? 2 months old? Now, Bhima could not kill Putana when he was 2 months old. Right? He got all the powers later on. But Krishna could do it at the age of 2 months. So he's better than Bhima. And Yudhishthir Maharaj is speaking the most wise, the beautiful questions with all the, in the Yaksha Prashna episode. He's speaking wonderful knowledge. But Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. Is the Yaksha Prashna dialogue as famous as Bhagavad Gita? Right? How much famous is Bhagavad Gita? Everyone knows. Nelson Mandela in jail was reading Bhagavad Gita in South Africa. He was not reading Yaksha Prashna. Yeah. So he's better than, and what to speak of Nakul and Sahadev. Like you may say, you know, Nakul and Sahadev, you know, one of them was an expert in tending cows. Who can be a better expert than tending cows? His name is Gopal. Krishna calls cows by their names. In fact, not even names, sometimes just a different flute, a tune of a flute. A tune of a flute attracts cows. What kind of power? And what about maintaining horses? You know, he actually proved it on the battle of Kurukshetra. You know, maintaining the horses. So Krishna is better than all the 5 Pandavas. So does Yudhishthir Maharaj have any doubts about it? That he is famous and he is so great and he is so powerful and expert archer. Does he have any doubts? No. He doesn't have any doubts. He is a pure devotee. Right? He is Haridas Varya, one of the Haridas Varyas. But purely out of affection. Out of affection he is saying that, Krishna, you know, please take my Chaturangi Sena with you. You know, I'm feeling scared that you have so many enemies, they will kill you. Right? Who demonstrated this particular mood later on in the history? That is Maharaj Kulashekhar. Right? When Lord Ramchandra was also facing, Lord Ramchandra was not facing problem, it was being read in Ramayana like that. He was hearing Ramayana sitting. So Kulashekhar was reading Ramayana and the episode came of how Lakshman has just left, and in the first time it happened. That happened when the episode was came about the forest of Dandakaranya. What is that place called as? Where this Khara, Dushan and all these demons came. Huh? Sorry? Panchavati. So the place in Nashik called Panchavati where all these demons came. So when Kulashekhar heard all these descriptions, that hey, Khara and Dushan are coming and Ramchandra is alone there fighting with all the demons. He said, call all the armies. He was went into ecstasy. Call all the armies. I want to protect Ram. He is fighting Khara and Dushan alone, single-handedly. Let's all go together. And the ministers are thinking, hey, Baba, it's not happening real. It's there in Brahman. But for him, it is happening real. Nowadays, there is this famous movie going on called as Doctor Strange and the Multiverse or something like that. You heard about it? Very famous Hollywood movie. Multiverse. So something is happening in your universe, same thing must be happening in some other universe. And then some magic you are able to interact with or whatever. Right? Now here it is actually happening in Kulashekhar's life. In some other universe it may be happening, Lord Ram fighting with Khara Dushana. But he is able to, by his devotional, he is able to experience multiverse. Right? He is able to experience that same, the pastime is incarnating in his heart. That is Kulashekhar Maharaj. So he sent his armies. So the minister said, Abhi Baba, isko kya karenge? Abhi it is too difficult to handle. So then they sent two soldiers ahead of the army. And those few soldiers came back saying, Maharaj, Maharaj Kulashekhar, good news. So what is the good news? Lord Ramchandra is already victorious. He has killed Khara, Dushan, Trishir, all of them, and he is now again with Mother Sita and all that. Ah, so happy. So okay, let's go back and celebrate. So he went back and celebrated the whole. So then they said, okay, Baba, when you read Ramayana, don't read such sections of Ramayana. Only read the happy sections, otherwise this man goes into ecstasy. And then somebody forgot about that instruction. And then again he went into ecstasy. And then again he marched all the armies towards Sri Lanka. To protect Lord Ram and Sita. And I will not repeat all the entire episode. But the same mood. Same mood exhibiting by Maharaj Yudhishthir also. Please take my armies. You may need with them. Actually, just giving a contemporary example. Because in the beginning I spoke about Narendra Modi. I want to again speak about it. When Narendra Modi went to Palestine for the first time, our Prime Minister, that was the first time that any Prime Minister of any country put his feet on the Palestinian soil. And first of all, he met Israel, the people in Israel, and then he wanted to go in Palestine. So while going to Palestine, he used a Jordanian, so Palestine is part of Jordan. So he used a Jordanian helicopter to go to actually visit Palestine. At that time, just out of affection for him, there were 3 helicopters of Israel Air Force which were accompanying that helicopter as his helicopter was going. That was not required. It's Jordan country only, nobody's going to attack. Nobody's going to attack there. But just out of an affection for him, the Israeli Prime Minister sent 3 helicopters. So as Modi's, and the security was so tight that there is no video footage of this available. Even there is no video footage of this available today. Go on Google. You will see news reported by Times New, Times TV and all these, NDTV and all these channels, but you will not see the video footage of this. Such tight security. You are not even allowed to shoot it internationally. But out of affection, you know, 3 helicopters accompanying, out of affection. Like that. So affection is there, then, you know, everything is, affection is the ultimate. So, I just want to explain one small thing and then we will actually end up here. Just like this verse is talking about enemies of Lord Krishna. Right? Enemies of Lord Krishna. And therefore, this is there. How are these enemies actually created in our heart? How are they actually created in our heart? There's a small story. And as we are talking about this concept of ours and Krishna's, very connected to that story. In the village of Alarnath, there used to be there is still a beautiful deity of Lord Alarnath. And there used to be a Brahmana who used to worship this deity that time. So one time he requested his son to do the offering. And very similar story to as that of Raghunandan Acharya. The son made the offering and the deity was not having. So the son started crying that, oh, you know, please accept, please accept. So Alarnath said, I already accepted. What do you want? He said, no, you actually eat it. So he ate it. So apparently, during that time, you just cook one meal, you offer it to Krishna. If Krishna finishes that meal, then you don't have anything to eat. So Alarnath finished everything because the child requested. And then the father came home, he said, I am hungry. So the child is saying that, no, he offered to the deity and the deity ate everything. So no, I want this to happen again. I want to see it. Maybe he is lying. So next day again, he made him do the offering. The whole day he was fasting, by the way. The whole day now only spent on drinking water, right? In today's our society, we cannot understand this actually. It's beyond our, that how can a Brahmana eat only once and all that. It's beyond our understanding. Let's accept it. But that time it was like that. So nothing was there. So this was hungry. Next day morning, a nice kheer was cooked, again offered to Alarnath. And he said, now you go and make the offering. I want to see you ate it, Alarnath ate it. So this man hid behind. And the child made the offering. And again the same story took place. Alarnath came down and started eating the offering with his own hand. So he picked up that pot. The pot was very hot. And this man, you know, he came back from the hiding. And he held the hand of Alarnath. And said, don't eat. Can't you understand that I'm hungry? Last whole day. And then Alarnath immediately disappeared. Of course, that pot, hot pot, the kheer, fell on the chest of the deity. And those marks of burn are still there on the deity. If you can still go and see, those marks are there. So, what exactly happened in this? Right? Everything was there. Krishna appeared in front of you. Krishna actually appeared in front of you to give his full darshan. But you couldn't appreciate. Why? Because affection was not there. Right? So this lack of affection for Krishna, you know, I address it as the enemy of Radharani. Because just like you are part and parcel of Krishna, the devotion or the affection in the heart of you for Krishna is a part and parcel of Srimati Radharani. And the only reason why you are not able to cultivate that heart, you know, that affection for Krishna, is because there is enemies of Radharani sitting in our heart. These enemies of Radharani who are sitting deep in our heart. And therefore, to battle with these enemies of Radharani also, we need a Chaturangi Sena. So Prabhupada gave us the Chaturangi Sena. I mean, two sets of Chaturangi Sena. One set of no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. That was one Chaturangi Sena. And the other Chaturangi Sena was chanting, reading of the scriptures in association of devotees. And the last and the most important D was the deity worship. Worshipping of deities. If you are able to worship deities very properly, then slowly but surely, the non-devotional sentiments in the hearts will be destroyed. This is said by, I believe, Gopal Bhatta Goswami in his book. The non-devotional sentiment, the entire problem with this episode of Alarnath was lacking of devotional sentiment. Everything else was there. Krishna appeared in front of him. But devotional sentiment was lacking. So by performing these, observing this Chaturangi Sena, you know, we can actually have affection for Krishna and then make our life perfect. And that's what I want to say. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sorry for taking 10 extra minutes, but thank you so much. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.